This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us here and every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time for Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And as I said, we do come your way every Saturday, and it's also available streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com. That's richarddugan.com. Love to hear from you. Send me an email. Tell me what you think of our programs. If you have any suggestions, guest ideas, topic suggestions, it's richard@richarddugan.com. And we really would enjoy hearing from you to hear what you have to say about what we're doing here and how we're trying to bring those new paradigms for a new world. I want to let you know that we are going to have some very special guests coming in the year 2010 as we just have gotten underway. And in our studio today, live, if you will, in our studio, my guest all the way from, if I'm correct, is it London, England?
It's England anyway.
It's England anyway, okay.
Yeah.
Which is still quite a ways away, Diana Cooper, and it's a pleasure to have you in our studio.
Thanks, Richard. It's lovely to be here.
Some folks may have met you when you were here in Santa Barbara at the time that we were able to get together and talk, you and I, at the Paradise Found bookstore.
That's right.
And that's on Anapamu between Anacapa and State Streets, and you were there doing a book signing.
Yes, I was doing a book signing, and I'm doing a talk there tonight, and it's a lovely place.
Absolutely, and we certainly are grateful that they have that facility available to have these kinds of events, have folks such as yourself coming into town, and you're coming into town from a long way off again, England. You have written quite a number of books on a wide variety of different subjects, all dealing with, I'm going to put them under the umbrella, if you will, of spirituality.
Absolutely, yes.
You deal with orbs.
Orbs.
Angels.
Angels indeed.
Transformation.
Yes.
You also are dealing with the subject of 2012.
Yeah, Atlantis, 2012, unicorns, all sorts of things.
What about leprechauns?
No.
Not yet.
But elementals come into it.
Yeah. Ah, okay. Well, we're going to focus primarily on two of those anyway today. One of them being angels.
Right.
And the other one being the subject, the big one. It's getting more and more attention the longer we are here and continuing to move forward in time, and that is 2012. December 21st, according to the Mayan calendar, something is supposed to happen. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But
fabulous.
I want to know how you got started in all it. What was it, the catalyst that propelled you into now having a website and this plethora of books and now on this book tour?
Okay. Well, it was many years ago. It was in my early 40s. I was getting divorced. I was in total despair, black despair. I could not see a future. I had no religious, spiritual, or psychic background. Nevertheless, I threw myself into a chair and said, if there's anything out there, show me. And an angel came in, a beautiful golden being of light. And I knew instantly that this was my guardian angel. And it literally took me out of my body and we flew together around the universe. And it showed me my future because I was there, this wimpy, little, thin, frightened, anxious person. And we flew over this hall full of people. And I said, well, am I down there in the audience? And the angel said, no, you're on the platform. You're to be a spiritual teacher. And I came back thinking, my goodness, you know, what's happened? But I knew it was something very profound. Hmm. And it got me out of my marriage. And I trained first to be a hypnotherapist and a healer. And I was aware of angels around, but they didn't come back for another 10 years. And then I was lying in the bath and asking for some guidance for the classes I ran. And this golden angelic voice said, we want you to tell people about angels. And I said, no way, no thank you. I don't want to do that. I just want to run my evening classes, thank you. And they said, well, who's doing your work? Is it your ego or your higher self? And I said, point taken. And I got out of the bath and put a towel around myself and sat on the bed. And three angels stood in front of me and gave me a whole lot of information for the book that's eventually became New Light on Angels that we're talking about.
And that is one of the main books that you are focusing on this book tour as you travel around.
Yes, it is indeed.
Okay, and we're going to talk about that as well as 2012. In studio with me today is Diana Cooper. Her website, dianacooper.com. And you can find out about everything that she has to offer, CDs as well, books. You have events that are coming up in the 2010. Easy for me to say. And we'll talk about a lot of those as
yes.
well and let people know more about who Diana Cooper is and where you are headed and maybe find out where we're headed as well
yeah.
as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. This is New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Tell Me Your Story.
Keeping all that fear inside. I understand how trouble haunts you. It haunts me too. Yes, and I do know how you feel. Oh, come on, walk with me. Talk with me. Tell me your story.
New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan with Tell Me Your Story, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And I would venture that Diana Cooper, guest in studio today, you've seen a few dreams come true for yourself since that incredible period of time, as you described for us in our first segment.
Absolutely.
That transformation of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was there, I mean, you described for us the events that took place as far as, you know, the voices and the mm-hmm. angelic voices
yes.
and so forth.
Yes.
But was there some other, shall we say, more terrestrial event or events that led up to that, that kind of opened you up to at least say, I'm not going crazy. Those are not just voices in my head. I need to be put in a rubber room.
No,
those are voices. I understand.
Yes.
What led up to that?
Nothing led up to
nothing.
It. I just was absolutely 100% knowing that this was an angel that I was talking to. I had no doubt whatsoever, even though it wasn't in my background at all. And I think that encoded within all of us is a knowing of the truth in the spiritual realms.
Mm-hmm.
And just something then has to burst it open. And in my case, it was the complete misery I was going through at that time. And it opened new doors to enable me to have a wonderful life that I'm really, really happy with.
Now, what were some of the things at that time in your life that, obviously, peace of mind was one of the things that you
mm-hmm.
wanted, but what were some of the other dreams that you had back then that you've seen come to fruition, come to reality in your life?
Well, do you know, I didn't at that time have many dreams. It was just, I was in survival.
You just wanted out of whatever you were in.
Yeah, I just needed to get out of it and survive and know that my children were okay. And we did. And everything turned out fine. And since then, I've had dreams of going around the world. And of course, all of those things have happened.
Mm-hmm.
I've been around the world. I've talked all over the world, practically every continent too, about angels and all the wonderful, amazing things that we can do to link with the spiritual realms and change our lives completely. Because people say, I don't believe in angels. And the answer is, it doesn't matter, because the angels believe in you. Just open up to them and things will start to change for you.
I like to define terms in these programs when we get to certain spots. So though I have a pretty good idea of the answer to this question, from your perspective, who or what are angels?
Well, what they said to me when they first came in was that angels are seventh dimensional spiritual beings. And the reason we can't see them is that they're beyond our level of understanding. They are seventh dimensional and most humans are third dimensional. And so we can't see and hear them. It doesn't mean to say that they're not there. It's just that they're in a different frequency from us. And so I've worked with them on that basis and understanding ever since, except that they leave little white feathers as proof of their presence. Now, I had an email the other day from somebody who said, his mother said, he said, you know, I thought that that lady on telly, which was me, talking about angels, was making sense until she mentioned about the little white feathers. And then I thought it was a load of rubbish. And as he said those words, even though they were indoors in their sitting room, a little white feather fell from nowhere and landed between him and his mum. And he just stood up and said, "I believe. I believe."
It's kind of hard to fight with that.
Yeah. And they do this all the time. Now, somebody else was telling me that she had a very skeptical friend and they were talking about angels and the woman said, complete rubbish. And they leant against a gate as they went for this walk and she had her hand upturned and a feather fell into her hand. And again, it changed her view of her understanding of what happens.
Now, have you done or are aware of, say, past history of the evidence of angels in our society, in our civilization, amongst humankind? And has it increased as far as you're aware? I mean, are there more angels than there were? Are they making themselves more known than they ever have been?
Yes, the answer is yes, mm-hmm. that there were more angels came in during the Renaissance for a short period to try and raise the frequency of all. And then it didn't work and they withdrew again.
Do they give you a reason as to why it didn't work?
I don't know. People just weren't ready for it at that time.
Okay.
And so with the energy moving towards 2012, the ascension of the planet, more angels have been sent here than ever before. And there are more angels on all the different frequency bands. So we have more of the very high, fast frequency universal angels as well, connecting with us and helping us in our daily lives. But most of all, encouraging us to open up to our higher spiritual level so that we can reach our own personal ascension and help the planet to reach ascension.
Now, you've brought 2012 into the conversation via the angels. It is a subject that, for some, they are elated, they are excited, and there are others who are in abject terror of 2012.
That's an awful shame.
Yeah, and Hollywood, if you will,
yes,
isn't helping.
No,
there's
they're
a
not
movie
helping.
That just came out in mm-hmm. November of 2009 called 2012.
I know.
And I've seen the previews. I have not seen the movie mm-hmm. as of our conversation here. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that I want to, not because I feel as though I'm going to be drawn into the fear. I'm not afraid. I've sort of jokingly said with people, like during the Cold War, for example, before it ended, that if we're going to have it, I want to be at ground zero where the first bomb hits, just right here on top of the head. Take me out. Let's move on to the next level of existence, whatever it is. I kind of feel the same way with 2012, if that's the scenario. But you, in your dealings with the angels and their conversations with you, they're not saying that.
No, they're not saying that. 2012 is the end of a 26,000-year period and the end of a 260,000-year period. And so it's end times, which is what the Mayans, the Aztecs, all the ancient cultures have written about. It's the end times, but the end is the beginning of the new.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it is a time when a whole lot of new energies are coming into the planet, and people are going to come to 2013 and say, well, nothing's different. And it isn't, except that energetically, mm-hmm. there will be new things coming in that they will feel. And those things can make a profound difference to some people. So there are amazing things happening. The Olympic Games is in London.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it's in London is because London is the Earth Star Chakra of the planet, the spiritual Earth Star. And when the Earth Star Chakra opens, then all the other spiritual chakras open, including the Stellar Gateway. Now, this is the same for individuals and the planet. When that happens, new source light will be able to pour in to everybody, and we will all be able to access it. So that is just one of the many things happening. There are 33 cosmic portals opening, and the cosmic portals are places where the Christ light, by which I mean unconditional love light, the golden light of the unconditional love,
mm-hmm.
plus the 12 rays is coming in, and the 13th ray and the silver ray of the divine feminine, they're all coming into those portals and they're opening them up and radiating that light around the planet. So again, massive things. In 2012, the crystal skull, the Peruvian one, which was the Inca skull, is going to be revealed. Now, so far, only the Mayan skull from Atlantis has been returned to us. And the Inca skull contains all the information from the mighty Thoth, all about the resonances between people and everything, that every single thing on this universe has a resonance and a correspondence. So a star is linked to a tree and a person. Everything works together, the tides, the moon, everything. And this is going to allow new healings to come in to change the planet. Now, this Incan skull is not going to be released for everybody. It's going to be found by its keepers. They're going to recognize it and hold the energy, but it will spread anyway so that people can access it. And this, again, will have an unconscious impact on a lot of people. The moon in 2012, around the December period, is going to be very, very powerful, and it's carrying the divine feminine energy. So that is, again, pouring down on people so that they will be able to access the divine feminine. Now, in my book, 2012 and Beyond, I give a whole lot of information about the energies coming in, how we can access them, and what impact they will have on every country in the world, because everywhere is going to change. The thing that people are scared of is the knowing that throughout the world, every single dark place on the planet is going to be cleansed. Now, that occurs between 2017 and 2022. So in that five-year period, all the negativity is going to be shifted from the planet, and that is going to be shifted by Mother Nature. Now, people are very nervous about this. What they don't realize is that we can have an effect on that. So, for example, if a place is being changed because of a hurricane, the air elementals are involved. If people are very frightened, then they are going to, the air elementals are stirred up by the fear, and they will make a very bad hurricane. It will cleanse the area, but it may not be necessary. Mm-hmm. If people stay peaceful and centered and send that calm energy to the air elementals, they will cleanse the area in a calm way so that the damage isn't done. Mm-hmm. So every human being can impact on what is happening.
I know that going back into the 1980s, I believe it was, there was a minister who, a national minister here in the United States, who said that he and his people were going to pray that this hurricane that was brewing at the time would miss a particular part of the United States. And it did. Mm. And I think that putting aside the dogma and all of that, that was sort of one of the first modern day examples, although a lot of people, you know, poo-pooed it, you know, saying, oh, it was going to do that anyway.
Yes. Well,
how do you know? I mean, how do you know that it was going to do that anyway? And I think that's what it comes back to is, how do we know that the process isn't just going to do what, I mean, it's going to do what it's going to do. How can we be sure that we're actually affecting it as opposed to, well, that was just, it was natural course of events?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because the answer is that if it's done often enough and has that similar result, then you can start to know that it has an impact on what's happening. And, you know, the modern physics is now, the quantum physics is now telling us that the thoughts and the observations of the witnesses affect the results of the experiment. In other words, your thoughts have an impact on what is happening. And all they're saying is that their prayers, which are thought energy, are going out and impacting on what's going on the weather. And we know this. How many times have you ever seen, it's been raining, that's probably not your problem here, but in England this is what we have.
Unfortunately,
it's
not.
Raining, and you and your friends, you focus on the sky and you visualize it blue, and sure enough, in that particular area, a blue patch of sky comes and the sun comes out and the rain falls everywhere else. Mm-hmm. I've done it. Most of my friends have done it. I'm sure lots of people here have done it. Well, we can change things. Yeah.
And I've even heard of this, and I think I even experimented this as a kid, where you would go out into the yard, lay in the grass, and look up at the clouds, and if you stared at a cloud long enough, it would dissipate.
Absolutely. But that's the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same. So all it's telling us is that we have the power, unless we go into fear, mm-hmm. which is what all these films and things are about.
Right.
In which case we're giving away our power.
Right.
But if we maintain it and hold it, then we can change things. And we can change the whole world into a most beautiful place, full of peace.
If you're just joining us, I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm with Diana Cooper, and she is the author of, I'll be honest with you, quite a number of books that you certainly can check out on the web at dianacooper.com. That's dianacooper.com. And we'll have the link at our website, which is, of course, richarddugan.com, so that you can get to her website. She has, of course, 2012 and beyond. And actually, I'm not even sure how many books you have here on the website. We went over some of the subject matter in terms of enlightenment through orbs. And I've talked with other guests previously about the whole conversation of what orbs are all about.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we can't really focus in on just one thing because it's all interconnected. I mean, we could talk about angels, but somehow we've already worked into 2012. And we could talk about orbs, but somehow it's going to work into angels in 2012. I mean, it's
absolutely.
You can't
yes.
talk about one without talking about all of it.
Because it's all part of the shift that's happening right
yeah.
now. And the orbs are most amazing. There are two books on orbs. And it's completely awesome. We get sent about 300 orbs a week, and some of them are mind-blowing. And every single orb, which is, of course, the light body of the beings of the angelic realm, every single one gives a message. So as you look at the orb, it's automatically downloading a message or an energy or an invitation or something to you.
Do you find in your travels now, and maybe even before you began traveling and you were teaching and sharing this information from the angels, did you find that more and more people were not so much receptive to what you had to say, but were grasping at, they were looking for and trying to find answers that they weren't finding previously?
It's very interesting because one of my books, Angel Answers, is full of the sort of questions that people ask and don't know what the answers can possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, things like, where was his guardian angel when my child drowned? You know, something horrible like mm-hmm. that. And people then are searching for answers. And of course, nobody can die unless it's their time. Even if they're a child, it's part of the pre-life agreement.
Mm-hmm.
If you've only got 6 years to live, then that is what your soul has agreed. And if it's not your time to die, your guardian angel will make sure you don't. So the answer is that child's guardian angel was holding her hand and helping her transition into the light at that moment. But if it hadn't been her time, something would have happened to change it. For example, it doesn't have to be death, it can be an accident. I knew somebody who had got a really bad back, and she was on a first floor balcony, and she leant against the balcony to help her back, which was in pain. And it gave way, and she fell. But as she fell, she felt these arms holding her, and she landed as softly as a feather. She knew it was her angels holding her, and she didn't jolt or hurt her back in any way.
Hmm.
Now, that's quite a fall, but she felt her angels helping her because she didn't need an accident for her growth at that time.
Mm-hmm. And I know we hear other stories similar to that, where we hear about infants and young children falling out of 2, 3, 4, or 5-story windows,
mm-hmm.
and they wind up totally unscathed, and it's just boggles the mind of most people.
Well, it does. And, you know, people say, I also get, and this answer is also an angel answers, well, my child fell from a window and died. What did they go through? You know, their parents were in agony about what their child went through.
Yeah.
And the answer invariably is, as soon as the child fell, they felt that moment, second of panic, and then the angels enfolded them and carried their spirit away. It was only the physical body mm-hmm. that was left, that was appearing to be in pain or damaged. The spirit was absolutely fine.
That raises a question. It's sort of a sidebar question. In relation to people who are who are in comas or who are experiencing the onset or the middle or late stages of what is called Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. Used to be called dementia, and so on and so mm-hmm. forth, mm-hmm. where the individual physical body is still functioning, but that which makes the person who they are, you and I are conversing, and mm-hmm. I'm conscious mm-hmm. And aware, mm-hmm. but there comes a point when that individual is no longer there, or are they trapped inside, they're trying to get attention from somebody, but the body isn't functioning to do so. I mean, what's happening with these people and as far as their essence, their soul, if you will?
Well, there are a number of different questions there, but very often their soul has slightly withdrawn. Like this is the case with some autistic children. They can't cope with the frequency on the planet because they come from a high frequency place. And so they withdraw part of their soul energy. And now this is where unicorns are really, really helpful. And the unicorns can come in and help to reground them, help them to connect with their soul mission, the reason they came in the first place. And it can make a lot of difference. With Alzheimer's people, it's a little bit different. A lot of them are looking for the comfort of childhood, and again they can't cope with what's going on, and so part of their soul withdraws. And in a coma you have people whose spirits are out of their body, mm-hmm. can't get back into their body, and they don't know what to do. Sometimes they're frightened to come into their body, and yet they're frightened to pass over. And what I usually do in those cases is talk to their higher self and explain that it's okay to pass if they want to. Mm-hmm. And then, but if they don't want to, they can come back in. Remember, I was asked to see somebody who'd been in a coma for a long, long time, a very long time. And she had two small children. So, I mean, it was awful for the whole family.
Yeah.
And I spoke to my guide about it, and he said, she's frightened of leaving. It's time for her to go, but she's frightened to go. The family will be all right without her. And they asked me to talk to her spirit every night. And I did that. And 3 weeks later, she just died. And so she got the message. I talked to her spirit, said, look, it was okay to go. It was time to pass. And she got it. And then she left.
Hmm. I remember the case here in the United States back in the... I'm trying to remember what time period it was, late 90s or first part of the mm-hmm. 21st century. We had a woman who had been in a coma for a number of years. Mm. Her husband had been suspected and on mm. and on and on. And they wanted to remove the machines
right.
and just let her go.
Mm.
And, of course, this all went through the courts and
yeah.
the Supreme Court and all of that kind of stuff. And the comment had been made that she'd been in such a vegetative state for so long that the physical body, the brain, had just kind of turned
yeah.
to something other than the gray matter in which we are used to having.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, following her passing, they did an autopsy, and that's exactly what it was. That even if they had kept her on the machines, she would never have come back anyway because there was no brain. They're finding, and you mentioned quantum physics earlier, they're finding that what we thought resided in the brain, like memory and so forth, and this is through people like Lynn McTaggart and others who are doing that kind of research.
Yes, they are.
They're beginning to realize that it is sort of, if I can use the physical representations, it's sort of outside of us. I mean, that's not true, but from a physical representation standpoint, it's not in the brain, but it's in, as it's referred to, the field.
Yes. Well, it's the soul, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think in those cases, it's very dangerous when we play God and turn things off. What used to happen and what will happen again as we become more enlightened, as we move towards 2032, is that people will once again start to talk to the soul or the higher self
mm-hmm.
and find out what really they want. and then you can make a decision to turn something off. But it's dangerous grounds to play God otherwise.
Yeah. Well, that seems to have been the case. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and I'm here with Diana Cooper. You can go to dianacooper.com. That's dianacooper.com. You also have other books, New Light on Angels, you've mentioned, The Transformation Set, which has to do with a collection of books that you have, materials on the process of transforming your life, which is part of what this program is about.
Which is quite interesting, because just recently I put on an exercise onto the website of asking people to draw a tree, which is one of the exercises in one of the transformation books. And then we would put an explanation of what they'd put into their tree about themselves. Mm-hmm. And we were just inundated with them, and so we just took the first 20 or so and translated them and put them up. But it's fascinating, and it's fascinating to do with your friends. Draw a tree, look at what it all means, and then translate it for each other, because it gives you so much information about your unconscious state. Mm-hmm. And people say, oh, wow, I hadn't realized that I wasn't grounded. I need to do something to get myself more solid, you know, get my family links better, or do something in society. Or, oh, I've got so much more potential than I realized. I need to expand, declutter my life and expand. And people can make lots of shifts by doing that. Mm. So it's a fun exercise, but you can learn such a lot from it.
Now, you've told us that you don't have any kind of religious upbringing. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I came
you
from
weren't,
you anti-religious family.
Okay. Atheists?
They weren't
agnostic?
Atheists. No, they were just anti-religion, as far as I can remember.
They just didn't want to have anything to do with organized religion.
That's right.
But was there any kind of a belief in a higher power, a god?
I don't think so.
Supernatural being?
Well, from my family.
From your family?
No.
Okay.
No.
So it was just, you were just doing the daily life thing, living
yes,
your lives.
Absolutely. It was very empty when I think of it. It was crazy.
Do you feel as though, knowing what you know now, mm-hmm. and having experienced the things that you have, that you kind of wish that you had had something like that?
I believe that my soul came in and with a choice to have those parents, because that's the background they would give me. And that when I did have my angel experience, I wasn't cluttered. I didn't have all sorts of dogma or religious beliefs to make me doubt or anything like that. It just was what it was, and I knew it to be true, and so that it moved me on to another level. So I believe that the background I came in for was my choice, my soul choice, and was perfect for me.
Has there been a draw towards any one or a number of different, shall we say, belief systems that kind of resonate even a little bit with you, or has it pretty much stayed extremely eclectic?
I would say it stayed fairly eclectic. I suppose I find the Hindu chants very, very appealing, mm-hmm. the Sanskrit chants, and that sort of thing. But there's nothing that I look at and think, oh, this belief is right or that belief is right. I just understand what I know.
Right. And it's interesting, when someone shares, such as you have, about sort of a, I don't want to necessarily say a preference, but it's like, oh, the Hindu chants, I like that. And listening to your voice, saying, oh, a British person likes the Indian chants and so forth. Because we're looking at the outer physical expression of who we really are inside.
Yes.
When who we are inside is, it's non-denominational. It's non-ethnic.
Absolutely.
There's no connection to any segment of our modern life.
But I believe in past lives, mm-hmm. and I'm sure I've had lots of past lives in India, and so that's a very comfortable place for mm-hmm. me. Furthermore, I was born in Pakistan, and so it's obviously going to be very familiar from this lifetime as well. Mm-hmm. And so it's no wonder I feel attracted to that. But it's interesting because, about 5 years ago, I walked the Camino. Do you know Shirley MacLaine wrote about it? It's a 500-mile, it's actually a Roman Catholic pilgrimage across the Pyrenees in Spain.
Okay.
And so I walked it one summer, and it was the most fabulous experience of my life, though the conditions were dire. But as I walked, I chanted Sanskrit chants, but we were staying in Roman Catholic places. And I just had an overwhelming feeling of just the wonder of everybody's religion being exactly right for them.
Yeah. I find it fascinating that there are those in my upbringing in particular. I was born and raised Catholic, and then I went to work for a religious radio station. And I always found it interesting that those who were, say, wanting to get me to go a particular way, wanted me to turn from the church and those kinds of things. Mm. I'm not a practicing Catholic to this day, but I've never turned my back on the church. There are elements of Catholicism that I hold very dear. Mm-hmm. That's the ritual and the ceremony, candles and incense, although easy on the incense, a little tough on the throat. But there are certain aspects. And then that even ties into what you've talked about in terms of the chanting, in the Hindu chanting. There's that in the Catholic Church as well. And I love the Gregorian chants and so
wonderful.
Forth.
Wonderful.
Awesome stuff.
Absolutely.
It's you know, so we all find those wonderful little bits and pieces that help us through the days and the weeks, whether it's through good times or bad, and we're able to, you know, just live our lives and enjoy ourselves.
And I think this is the wonderful thing about the period after 2012. People are going to start moving away from the dogma of religion and allow the beauty of the higher energy of spirituality to come into their lives. And this is going to be a worldwide thing, so that by 2032, the whole world will be on a much more spiritual basis.
Well, I'm holding to that thought that you're putting out, because we certainly could use some quieter times. It just seems as though every time we turn around, there's some major event that happens, an incident that why did this have to happen? This didn't have to happen. Why did this person do this or this person do that? And that raises another question that maybe your angels have shared with you, and that is the turmoil of humanity against itself. Seems as though it's growing, but by the same token, I also acknowledge that the population is not what it was 50 or 100 or 1,000 years ago. It's enormous right now. We're fast approaching 7 billion people.
I know.
And maybe it's just by virtue of the number of people that, you know, we're getting too close and we're starting to get agitated.
Well, the thing is that we're moving into a time when we have the greatest opportunity for spiritual growth that there has ever been in the history of the planet. I mean, something completely awesome. All the universes are watching in amazement at what is happening on Earth right now. And Source has allowed everybody that's got karma to complete to come in now, plus all the souls that have wanted to experience this extraordinary time of transition have been given permission to come in now. So, which is why there are so many people on Earth right now. We're all here to experience the opportunities and possibilities of 2012 and beyond. And there will be a time when a lot of those souls no longer wish to come to Earth, or they'll say, I've learnt what I need to learn, and they will go off to another plane of existence. And then the population will reduce in a way that is right for them. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of fear around this. And I have to say to people that Archangel Metatron is in charge of this whole process, and his color is orange. And if you breathe his light into yourself, then you will connect with him, and he will make sure that you are in exactly the right place during all the times of transition, the difficult times of cleansing. Mm. And so Archangel Metatron will look after you, and you will be exactly where your soul needs to be.
I know that going through a personal growth program, that kind of phrase was raised when we were sitting there feeling so defeated and so exhausted on top of that. They would say that if you did not want to be here, you wouldn't be. And since you are, you must want to be here. And it was like one of those things. And so I kind of took that on, and I would then share that with people when I was going about my days. So, well, if you didn't want to be here, you wouldn't be. But you must want to be here because, well, here you are.
Well,
and it would irritate the daylights out of most people.
But it's absolutely true.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the personality that's miserable and the soul that wants you to be here and continue to experience.
To learn the things.
And the more we connect with our higher self and our soul, which is what all my books are about, then the happier we can be, the more abundant we can be, the more our life flows in harmony.
Now, you've shared an awful lot about some of the things that you've done and certainly the messages that have come through. But from your perspective, as Diana Cooper, mm-hmm. through everything that you have experienced since that transformation,
mm-hmm.
And here you are today and we're chatting, what is it that Diana hopes to achieve or accomplish through the books and the CDs and the touring and the sharing of the messages? What is the central message that you want to put out there?
That we are moving into a time when it's possible to become totally enlightened in this lifetime and to ascend. And by that, I mean bringing the light of your monad or I am presence into your physical body so that you carry more light and that you live your life in happiness. And my message is that this is possible, and all the keys and tools are in the books. Mm-hmm. And in 2012, I give the switches that we can use to bring some of the old energies back.
Do you still have some of the friends that you had back before the transformation? Or have they all kind of moved on and you've created new ones because of that?
Yes.
Because that's something that people think they can't do, that I can't give those people up because they've been with me for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years. And
I think that if a lot of people did uncording, in other words, they visualized all the things that they're attached to and all the people that they're attached to, and then cut the cords that they've created, mm-hmm. cut them away. Ask mm-hmm. Archangel Michael to take his sword and cut them away and visualize that constantly. Then they would keep themselves clear. And then, of course, you contract people to that new frequency, people that you want to travel, circumstances, conditions, abundance that you want to be with, without the baggage of the old. And, of course, people say, oh, but I love him. I don't want to cut him away. But you can't cut away love. Love doesn't form cords.
Right.
It's only all the negative stuff around it, the emotions that create the cords. And it's time to cut those away for everybody.
Aside from maybe expanding upon the work that you've already created on transformation, on orbs, on angels, on 2012, do you have any other books in the works that you're going to be hopefully working on as we get closer to 2012 or just as we continue to move through time?
Well, they've told me the title of the next book, but I haven't got much information about it yet. It's The Keys to the Universe.
Oh.
I know.
Mom, I'd like The Keys to the Universe, please.
I know.
I'm going to take it for a drive.
I know. I'm very excited about it, but I don't know much about it yet. And so I'm waiting for the angels to bring the energy in. There's big shifts taking place energetically mm-hmm. in November.
Of 2009?
Yeah.
Okay.
This year, for a lot of people.
So when this program airs in February of 2010, we will be able to look back and say, okay, well, what happened?
Yes, you'll be able to look back and say, wow, there were a lot of changes. Thank goodness we took the tide while it was there.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
This is what we need to do. All these energies are coming in. If we open ourselves up to them and move with the tide, because as you know, there are these two cosmic moments coming. In 2011 and one in 2012. And they happened at 11:11 on the 11th of November 2011.
Oh, that's right.
That's the first one. And that's about celebration and bringing in the new energies. And the highest possibility for that time is that the portals of heaven will open and people will receive higher energies which will move them forward. So those in the third dimension will move into the fourth dimension, will open their hearts and start looking for peace. Those in the fourth will move into the fifth, and then they will start looking to eradicate poverty in the world. And those in the fifth will move into ascension and carry much more light and act as beacons in the world. And then in 2012, you'll get much more energy coming in again, which again will enable people to move forward spiritually.
I have to say that I don't know what's coming. I mean, literally, I don't know what's coming, but I know that we are, there's no question, living in exciting times, however you view it. And if we can keep that positive perspective, we can enter it greatly. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned. There's more to come.
ocean road. Oh, the country's in our bones. Oh, the trouble that you know empties out as you go. Oh, walk with me, talk with me.
Tell me your story. New paradigms for a new world. I'm Richard Dugan, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And I'm in studio with Diana Cooper and her website, dianacooper.com. A myriad of books, CDs, events that are going to be taking place over the next, I'm sure, not just couple of years, but, you know, as as long as you choose to stay, because that's really what it is about, your choice to stay. There are people who say, at 46, I've had enough. I'm out of here. And they go. And there are people at 146.
Absolutely.
I'm not done yet. There's more that I want to do. Get some new teeth and keep moving forward. I know that there, a matter of fact, I interviewed a woman who shared a story about that very thing, a 94, 95-year-old woman who basically turned to her and said, you know what? And this woman was not depressed. Mm-hmm. She wasn't terminal. She was just, she says, I've done everything I want to do here. I want to go to the next place.
Mm. I know two old ladies that I visit often, and they're in their late 80s, and they're absolutely amazing. One's 89, and whenever I go away, they find out exactly what time I'm doing what, and they hold the energies. They spend their spare time sending out healing and doing an enormous amount of good. If they watch television, they're sitting there sending light to all the dark places, and their incarnation is going to be useful to the very last minute.
Hmm. It's like they just want to squeeze every last drop.
Which is good. Yeah. That's what we're meant to do. The essence of life is, yeah, is so important.
I've noticed in my own life, and this is sort of shifting a bit on the subject matter, that as I become more consciously aware of those things that are keeping me stuck, and that's the first step, is the awareness that I'm stuck and this is what's keeping me there.
Mm-hmm.
As I begin to make the transition, things can start to move forward, move faster.
Mm. Yes.
More things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they then sort of, they help to reinforce the new thoughts, or if you will, quoting a phrase from the program, new paradigms, to go in the direction that we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you have done that. You have changed a lot of your own personal beliefs and thoughts and ideas about what life is. You could be doing a lot of other things. Why this? Why now?
Because this is what gives me the greatest joy. Also, this is what my soul decided to do before I came in. And we need to be getting to do our missions so that we do what we came to do. What's the point of coming to Earth and not doing the mission that we came here for?
Good point.
there's no point. It's crazy, isn't it?
It's like me coming to work and I'm going to bring my Legos today and I'm going to build stuff. But this is a radio station and you're supposed to be doing this.
That's right. And so every single soul came in with a blueprint planned for that lifetime. And if they don't do it, then they're going to be really disappointed at a soul level when they leave.
Now, obviously, people can go to your website, dianacooper.com.
Yes.
And they can, you have an email address there that they can click on and send you an email, get in contact with you. What, other than the materials online, what are some of the other things that you provide to the viewers, the listeners, the web surfers?
On the website, there's a questions and answers section, and I used to do them all, but now I just do a selection. I also put up new orbs every 2 or 3 weeks, and I explain what you can receive, what is downloaded to you from those orbs. Well, recently we've put up the trees and helped people understand how they can interpret their own.
Mm.
There's a huge amount of information, meditations, all sorts of things on the website that people can do and access. There's a newsletter every month, and I try to put as much new information as possible, spiritual information, so that people can look at it and keep in touch.
Well, Diana Cooper, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you.
Wonderful, safe, joyful travels to you. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices. Until next Saturday, love to Lal. Have a great weekend.